All right, so this is the last week of an era. And next week, we'll begin a new chapter in Oheb's life. And in order to, when you begin something new, when you really take on anything big, it's very important to remember the fundamentals. And to always, I remember when I was studying with my teacher, my voice teacher years ago in Pennsylvania, and when I was talking about what kind of voice type I am, and because there are different ranges of different voices, not just a tenor, but there are many types of tenors. And he said he learned from a teacher of his who was a famous Italian, those who may know opera, his name was Tito Schipa. He actually sang with Rossini when Rossini was writing. There's a picture of him with Rossini over 100 years ago. And there's a little man, and he's a small man, and his voice wasn't very large, but because of his diction, he could project through giant opera halls, and people could understand what he was saying. And his advice to some of his students were, and he had a very light Italian voice, whatever you sing lyric. If you are a big voice, you sing lyric. A small voice, you sing lyric. The point was, if you sing things that are too big, and you're going in to push your voice, you eventually blow it out. So whatever, if you took a role that was a large role, eventually come back to the lyric roles, the lighter, the very melodic roles that required more graceful singing so that you don't blow out your voice. My point is that whenever we move forward, we always have to remember what is the foundation to keep us in check and keep us on target and keep us grounded in what we need to do so that whenever we do something new or do something big, that our foundation is set and is strong. And we are safer in staying on that grounding and not getting pulled on this way or that way or getting too big or pushing ourselves too strongly so we can get hurt. So all that said, what is our foundation really? It's the Spirit. The Spirit has to be first. And I was thinking about what to speak. I was praying, and I believe the Lord has put into my head the beginning. That's a good place to start when you're talking about foundations. So I thought about the beginning, and it says in the beginning in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, was hovering upon the surface of the water. Notice the first activity of God is not speaking, is not doing anything, but just the presence of God is there. And then once the Spirit in a way, then the word used when saying hovering, merachefet, it says also in Deuteronomy, I think in chapter 32, it talks about a bird, a mother bird, merachefet al gozleha, all upon her chicks. You know, a mother bird sits upon chicks. Or hovers above them to make sure that they're okay, to feed them, to nurture them, to tend to them. It's the same word. So here you see the Spirit is tending to us, is preparing us, preparing the world, because then all of a sudden God says, Yihi-o, may there be light. So before God did anything, the Spirit of God was there preparing. It's the way I see it. And preparing creation for about what God is to do. And I think it's exactly applicable to us. These times in our services when we've been encouraging you to press into the Spirit, to call upon, praise God, and to worship God, to seek the Spirit, it's because we have to. We have to, and it can't just be from up front. It's us. If we're going to affect change, we need more of the Spirit. We need to be sensitive to Him. We need to welcome Him. We need to wait upon Him. And we need to be in sync with Him so that we can, just like God, create something big, if you will. And we see this even in the ministry of Yeshua. Beginning in Luke 4, it says, Yeshua, now filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, returned from Jordan. He was led by the Ruach in the wilderness. So here we know the story of Yeshua is being sent out into the wilderness. And a lot of people think he just, well, I don't know what necessarily a lot of people think, but look at this, the spirit that led him into the desert to be tempted. Had he, I mean, I'll go so far as to say, I don't think Yeshua would have done it had the spirit not led him, because what he was about to face was extremely difficult. Fasting one day is hard. Fasting 3 days is hard. Fasting 40 days is near impossible. And not to mention, he wasn't in air conditioning. He wasn't even in a house. He was in the desert. And if you've been to the desert, the days are hot and the nights are cold. And there are animals out there. And there could have been, you know, I'm sure it was back then just like it is today. There are people roaming around. We call them Bedouins today. I don't know what they called them, you know, way back then. But it's not like he was in a secure space. I'm going to fast. But because this was all preceded by Yeshua being immersed by John. And then it says, the Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And God says to him, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I love him. Listen to him. So you notice that Yeshua hasn't really begun anything until the Spirit has come upon him and the love of the Father. It's not until he's filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God that he then goes out and endures a testing, which really mimics or parallels, in a way, the testing of Israel in the desert for 40 years. So he goes on and continues, for Yeshua is in the desert for 40 days being tested by the devil. Now he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. Which I always find a kind of a strange statement. It's like, you're only hungry at day 40? But maybe that's true, I don't know. Maybe the Spirit provided, he quenched his physical appetite, I don't know. Nonetheless, is that what he endured, these great trials, is that it was predicated upon being filled with the Spirit and the love of God. And of course, the enemy then comes to confront him and test him and tempt him. And the Spirit, I would believe the Spirit then quickens to his mind these scriptures from the Torah saying, no, I'm not gonna, what you're saying is false. And notice that even at this, the enemy uses scripture. The enemy's not going to come out, and it's usually, think of a snake, right? It twists, it turns, slithers, it's cunning. And we need to have the Spirit to be able to discern what's of God and what's not, because he could say, well, he quoted scripture, right, but he misquoted it. And he knew that because he saw things through the Spirit and not through his natural eyes. So then after he's tempted by the enemy, and he beats him, and the devil flees. It says, now Yeshua returned in the power of the Ruach to the Galilee, and news about him went out through all the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone was praising him. He came to Nazareth, where he had been raised. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue, and he got up and read. When the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll and placed found the place where it was written. The Ruach Adonai is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He doesn't just say, I was sent by God to do this, but that I've been empowered by the Spirit of God to accomplish this specific task. Because frankly, who else can, but the Spirit, can to proclaim release to the captives? Who sets us free? It's the Spirit of God. Who gives sight to the blind but the Spirit of God? Who sets free the oppressed? The Spirit of God. Proclaim the year of Adonai's favor. I mean, what more favor do we need than actually have a Spirit now dwelling within us and preparing us for the return of Yeshua? We have to seek him and pursue him and function in the Spirit to see true change within us and outside. And in verse 20, Luke 4:20 said, he closed the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue were focused on him. Then he began to tell them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Why? Because the fullest manifestation of the Spirit had come now. I do believe, I definitely believe most scriptures, not all, but most scriptures have a fulfillment at their time, and then the fullest fulfillment is in Yeshua. But the fullness power, the full power of God was in Yeshua. And then guess what? That same Spirit's here. It's not like we got half of His. We got the full thing here. But look at what Yeshua's, you know, he pursued God and prayed and sought God, and God filled him with power. And there are even times when we mention that Yeshua, someone touched him and he says, I felt power go out from me. It doesn't say this in the text, but I assume, therefore, he knew, I got to go pray to my Father to be filled up more. It's the Spirit that's going to make change. And it's the Spirit that's made change in our lives. That's why we're here. And it's the Spirit that didn't just, we're not just born again once, but we're continually transformed. And that's done not through self-will, but through the Spirit. So we'll read in John 1, starting at verse 12. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, that is Yeshua, to these he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of a bloodline, nor of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. Now, if you notice, the first time, you know, John 1 parallels Genesis 1. If you look at the creation of man, it says that God formed him out of the dust with his very hands. So there was a shape of man. And then it says, Vayipach be'apav nishmat chaim. And he blew within his nostrils a living soul, a living breath. Same thing in Hebrew. And he became alive. So man wasn't alive until God breathed into him. And likewise, if you notice, the end of John, when Yeshua has been resurrected and he approaches his disciples, that Yeshua himself, he breathes on him, John 20 and 19, he breathes on him on them and he says, receive the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, this is in the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, which happens in Acts 2. But this is now being there, being born again. Their spirits have been changed from death to life. So what does this tell us? That we need the breath of God to make us alive. And it's not just once, but continually. We need to seek the Spirit. We ask that God breathe upon us. It's funny, sometimes I'm like with David, and I did this with all my kids. You ever notice when kids cry, what do you do with their cry? They go, right? It's a vitality you give them. It's also distracting, but it does. It makes them smile, right? I think there's something to it. The fact that God breathes upon us and there's life. You breathe upon a kid, and they smile. And they stop crying for half a second. But it's the Spirit that makes us children of God. And if we're going to be children, it's not to me. It's my, you know, you're walking with God. You need the Spirit to guide us daily to walk in the path of God. A child, I'm not just a child of God because I was one yesterday. I'm a child of God because I'm one today. So I need the Spirit to guide me today. If we're going to be active in here and outside, we need to be active in here. You can't do today's work with yesterday's strength. You need to be constantly built up. I prayed yesterday, so I'm good for today. That's not true. That was good for yesterday. What kind of bread are we supposed to get? Daily bread. Right? We need to be built up in the Spirit daily. And it's not just, God, give me strength. Yes, sometimes that's the only prayer we can get through in that day, but we need to seek Him and pursue Him. I mean, think about it. Think about with anything good, worth eating. Good food takes time to prepare, to grow, to prepare, and to make. And then also should take time to eat it. Should sit, enjoy it, flavor. It's delicious. So it's with the Spirit, and it takes time. And you need to relish it and be in His presence and be bathed in the love of God. And if we notice that at the end of the whole story, with the return of Yeshua, who's saying, come to Yeshua? It's the Spirit and the Bride. What does this tell us? It tells us that we need to be in sync with the Spirit and when things are going to happen. That we need to know what the Spirit is moving. We need to know when the Spirit is speaking. And we need to be going with the Spirit to do those things. You know, when the children of Israel were in the desert, when the presence of God lifted from the tabernacle, they would move. And when he sat down, they would stay. So too, we must be sensitive. When God is moving, when the Spirit of God is moving, we need to move. And when he sits, we need to sit. We won't fit. The good news is, he may not look in our eyes like we're doing something wrong. But if we're really in sync with the Spirit, there's nothing greater we can do. Because he knows what he's doing. He knows the heart of the Father. So if we're in obedience to that, we're doing just exactly what we need to do at that particular time. Again, we need our daily bread. He provides those things for us. God will always provide for what we need if we're in line with the Spirit. If we try to take steps outside of saying, you know what, Spirit, I got this, catch up with me later, something bad's going to happen. And sometimes that the bad thing is that you get exhausted and you feel like you're straining and pushing. It's like, why isn't anything happen? And then you start to become, the enemy uses this and says, now you should blame God. It's his fault because you're trying to do the will of God. But then you go back and says, yeah, but you're out of my presence. You've outstepped me. You're either too fast or you're too slow. You have to be mindful of these things because in the presence of God, it says that there's the fullness of joy. So if we're truly in the Spirit of God, we will be filled with what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the evidence that you are in the Spirit of God. And not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Those are other evidences. And there's other evidence. We've been getting into the spirit of adoption. We can cry out to God and say, Abba, Father. And there's other, the kingdom, right, is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. These are other evidences. You ask yourself, is this what we experience here? Is this what I experience at home? Is this what other people experience within me? And if you're finding something missing, then you go and pursue the presence of God. Pursue the Spirit of God. Ask God to wash over you. This is why we say it all the time here. Because we have to make sure that we are in line with the Spirit of God. Because it's the only way. I am being not inclusive. It's the only way that we'll do anything that means anything. As if we're in line with the Spirit, and we follow him, and we love him, and we invite him in here, and we're filled with him, and we see and give the love of God within us, that's how we'll know that we can do stuff. And because, frankly, what's really cool is when you're really in line with God, when you do stuff, it's like you didn't even do it. It just happened. And you were kind of just on, you know, in the groove of everything. You look back and said, how did that happen? Because it's God moves. And you're just along with the ride, if you will. Last week, I remember we had, I was encouraging everyone to pray and to press into the Spirit. I do believe we had a breakthrough. And to me, it was very encouraging. I don't know, I'm not sure what you, I hope, try to remember what happened. Really, with the presence of God, it really swelled up within here. And many joined and really pressed in and worshiped God. That's the beginning. This is one of the foundations, as I see as the congregational leader, is that this will happen more. A lot more. That this room is overtaken by the presence of God. I pray someday, God willing, that like when Solomon dedicated the temple in 1 Kings 8, that we have to leave this building because the presence of God is too strong. We literally can't stand here. Because the glory of God, which in Hebrew is the same word for weight. It's so heavy in here that we can't even stay. Because when that happens, we'll be infectious. we'll go out and just touch people and they'll be healed. We'll just say, you're hurting. If you know Yeshua, and they'll say, God, have mercy on me. I've sinned. Yes, we need boldness. Yes, we need training. Yes, we need to learn. But without the presence of God, I wouldn't even want to do it. It's just such a great power and awesomeness that people are hungry for and that we're still even hungry for. It's not just about the outside world, but for here. And like we were saying, that the kids would experience it and the youth and even the elderly. There is no senior Holy Spirit. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit that fills us all. And will use us all if we're willing to be used. And in continuation even of last week's message, remember, we're not judging according to the sight of our eyes. We're not judging by what people say. We're judging by their power. And guess who's the strongest? The Holy Spirit. When we're filled with that power, it doesn't even matter what comes against us because we'll know we're filled with the presence of God. I've been thinking about this more and more. When people would come to confront Yeshua and even to kill him, it said he just walked right through them. What does that even look like? I mean, you ever seen Israelis get upset? It's scary. They're frightening. And here I don't even know what it looks like. Just walked right through. He wasn't afraid of them because the power of God, the Spirit of God was on him so heavily that nothing could faze him. Nothing could attack him until it was his time. The Spirit of God must fill us. And I know it will because I know you want it. And many of you don't know what it looks like. And you might be even a little afraid of it. And that's okay. And I remember when I proposed to Brooke, I was terrified. But I knew it was the right thing to do. And she said, you were weird all night. I said, yeah, you think? Anything great, anything amazing that we're going to do is going to be frightening. That's life. But you also know when you do the right thing, especially in the kingdom of God, you'll be filled with the power of God, and he'll. It says in Philippians that he wills within us to do his will. If we seek God and say, Lord, I want more of your Spirit. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, you might think of what people might think of you. I understand. But I will assuage you with this. If we truly pursue the presence of God and seek the Holy Spirit, you'll be filled with such power. And you'll look in the mirror. You won't even recognize yourself. And you'll go to people and say, what's going on with you? What did you do? How were you different? It's like, can I pray for you? And you'll see people healed. You'll see people give their lives to the Lord. You'll see people filled with hope. You'll see darkness tremble. These are promises from the Bible. This isn't me talking. Darkness will come against you and you'll speak the name of Yeshua and they'll shut up. And you can go in confidence and say, I've done the will of God. There's an assurity, a solidity that you have in the Spirit that you can't get even with all the years of studying the Bible, all the years of going to Bible school. Yes, we do need to read the Bible, but even when we do so, that we have to do it through the eyes of the Spirit. Look, there are plenty of scholars out there who don't even believe God exists. They study the Bible all day. Some of them probably have more of the text memorized than we do, but they have no Spirit, so to them it means nothing. That when we do study the Scriptures, that we ask God to illuminate the eyes of our heart to see what God is speaking to us. I remember a story of a Chinese man who was imprisoned in China years ago, and the only thing he knew of the Bible was the book of Matthew. He'd memorized the entire book. That's it. And so day after day, he would just recite it over and over. And it led to the salvation of inmates and prison guards. So, you know, was he reading apologetics? No. Did he necessarily know scriptures to say that were pertaining to those men's lives? Probably not. But the point is that the Spirit was combined with the Word, and it affected salvation, life from the dead. Don't get me wrong. Read the scriptures. But you have to be filled with the Spirit when you're even trying to understand the scriptures, because it's from the mouth of God. So who better to understand than the one who knows God's heart? But the point being is, be filled with the Spirit. We have to be filled with the Spirit. And it's a privilege, and it's exciting to be filled with the Spirit. And I will say this, in case just anyone's a little afraid of it. The Spirit does not mean disorder. And it does not mean being crazy. There may be times we do stuff in the Spirit that may seem a little bizarre to the natural man. But it says in 1 Corinthians that the God is a God of order. And yet there are times when God works that we may not understand in our natural man, or outsiders may not understand. But when the power of God is moving, you know there's life, and you know it's from God. We do it in order. We will see amazing things happen in this area. We will see Jewish people come to faith. We will see the world begin to acknowledge that Yeshua is Lord. For this next chapter, I want to see more of the Spirit, and I highly encourage you to do whatever you need to. If you need to call me, want to talk about it, call me. But this is the foundation of what we want to do, and to accomplish the goals of seeing salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and to see ourselves changed, to see people healed, to see prophecy released, is to really pursue the Spirit. It's really exciting. If you take away anything, I want you to be excited. Because it's extremely exciting. Because even when you do read the Word, it comes alive. You see it. You ingest it. It becomes part of you. That when you speak it too, that the power of God is in your words. And when you touch people, they experience it as well. I hope you're excited. Because it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm absolutely terrified of next week, but I'm really excited. And I'm really excited because I know God's going to do great things. We didn't come here for no reason. We came here for a big reason. And I know God's going to use us, and by us, I mean all of us, together. And it's a privilege to serve. And it's a privilege to be able to pursue the Spirit with you, to see what God will do with us. I know he's going to do great things because we love him, because we seek his will, because we want his Spirit, we want his love more in us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, in the new covenant that your Spirit is with us all the time. And not just with us to teach for prophecy, Lord, but for our transformation, to make us more like Yeshua. Fill us, God, more with your Spirit here. I welcome you, God. We welcome you. Fill us up. Bring your Spirit here, Lord. Fill us up more, Lord, with your Spirit. I encourage you, put your hands out in a manner of receiving. God, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, God. Fill us with the love of the Father. Fill us, Lord, with the grace of Yeshua. Fill us, Lord, with more of the new man within us. The old has passed away, that there be newness within us. And fill us, Lord, that we go out of this building, that the Spirit of God that is within us would touch people's lives and bring them from death to life, from despair to hope, from imprisonment to freedom. They would experience the love of God that transforms people. We bless your holy name, Father. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay.